This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos. With me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome back, Michelle.
Why, thank you, Chris. And Chris.
No, don't say it. Just let it go.
Chris.
Let it go, Elsa.
I can't let it go. Chris, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you're having a nice birthday. I want all of our listeners to really understand that Chris is delaying his dinner so he can do this podcast. So I hope it's a wonderful second pandemic birthday that you're having.
I know. Doesn't it feel like it's the third? Jeez, at this point. Oh, well. Also with us is the wonderful, charming, elegant. What else? What other word? What other adjective?
Debonair. How about debonair?
Michael Scopa. Hi, Mike.
Hey, birthday boy. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. I'm avoiding dinner. I'm not gaining those extra pounds. So today on my birthday, what we're going to do, I'll give you a quick rundown, is we're going to discuss last night they gave a video preview of Harmonious, the new light show / fireworks show at Epcot. I did not watch it because I tend to want to see things in person before I get an idea of what they look like. But Mike and Michelle have seen it, so we're going to discuss that. And after that, we're going to take some time to go through wait times you're willing to stand in for all of the Epcot attractions. So Mike, what time did this show go off last night?
I want to say it was around 9 o'clock. It was exactly 9 o'clock, and it was live streamed on
Disney Park Blog,
and there were also several streams coming off of YouTube, but the Disney Parks blog is the one that I watched because I think we both watched it because we figured they probably had the best angle and were able to give us the best audio. So that's the one we watched. Hmm. And it was about 22 minutes long, which was kind of interesting.
So it was single camera? It wasn't like a production where they had multiple views or anything?
No, there was a camera that it looked like it was on top of the American Adventure Pavilion. And then there were some that were a little bit lower and different angles. There were some that looked like they were almost lagoon level.
I think there might have been a drone too, a drone camera.
It's possible. It's possible, but different angles, and it kind of proved the point. It proved the suspicion that I had about the show. But anyways, we'll get into that.
Okay, so you got to watch the show. Obviously, it's not like it is in real life. So it's hard to say, is it a good follow-up to our favorite light show from previously in Epcot? What was the name of that one again? I totally forgot the name of it.
Which one, Epcot Forever? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Illuminations.
I was saying, which one is he talking about?
I know there was a carryover.
There was a belief that for those who have seen Epcot Forever, you may want to know that there is a feeling that Epcot Forever was planned to be a bridge between Reflections of Earth and Harmonious. And this bridge between those two shows was to make sure that they did whatever they could so that people would not compare Harmonious to Reflections of Earth. I'm not sure if that was something that they achieved, but that was the reason why. A lot of people think that's the reason why Epcot Forever was put in place rather than have nothing between Illuminations and Harmonious.
Do you think it was Michelle, to test out some new techniques and stuff, like sort of try out did they have drones? Was it all just lights?
It was lights and those wands and those things that are in the center of World Showcase Lagoon have arms that open up and water sprays from them, which I'm sure probably look better.
They're calling them wands.
Water wands. Yeah. So there's projection, there's water, there's fireworks, there's music, and a little song, a little dance. So it's a whole bunch of different things.
I was just wondering if, do you remember, what was the show over at Animal Kingdom where they tried to use the drones and it just failed miserably and they got rid of it, right? And they do that like kites or something that they had going?
No, that was in Epcot. There were kites. There were kites at Epcot. Do you remember for the Epcot Forever?
I think Chris was talking about something else. But yeah.
The, I know there were kites at Epcot, but there was like a there was a show at
Rivers of Light in Animal Kingdom,
and there just was that
had, I don't think that had drones. That had like remote control boats or something like that, or rafts. I think there was problem. Boats, you know, the more technology you have, the more chances it's going to be to fail. So the more moving parts, right?
Wow. So,
but yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so did you see the whole thing or did you watch just you?
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube, not on the Disney Parks blog. But you want impressions or?
Impressions of her.
Yeah. So first of all, I want to say that I think it's really nice that Disney actually provides this link for people because it really made me feel connected. And so I think it's there's nothing like being at the real thing, but I really do enjoy seeing it ahead of time. I can't wait for Christmas to open my presents, so I knew I wouldn't wait to see it in person. I think that it's got, they tried to throw a lot of stuff into it. My overall impression is the same one I had with Epcot Forever, which is, this is a lot of Disney music with no real story. Like, I really don't understand the whole story that they're trying to tell. And it's, to me, it's getting to be the point where they have, like, you know, there's so many Disney classic hits, but like, how many times can you reuse a song in different parks? It's like becoming homogenous. Like, you don't, the show doesn't mean anything because it's an Epcot. I mean, there's one thing about when you go to studios and you see that Star Wars fireworks, I don't even think they have it anymore. I know they don't have it anymore, but that's like, okay, you go there to see that thing in that park because that means Hollywood Studios. But what we saw yesterday really could have been anywhere in any park. And I don't really understand what the whole story is. Now, having said that, does it have to have a story? I think another thing I was thinking recently is maybe like we're really spoiled and we expect too much because it's got a lot of stuff in there. Yeah, I found it enjoyable. Did it rock my world? No, it didn't. Would I go see it again? Yeah, I'll go see it. But I think I'd rather just have World Showcase look pretty again, to be honest with you.
Mike,
okay, Mike has no opinion at all about this.
Mike, so Illuminations, like that, the whole idea behind that was that we spent 2,000, you know, what did they say? It was like 2,000 years spinning around the sun, and this is the world coming together. So I guess now harmonious means we've all come together as one planet. Is that what this attraction is telling, this new light show is telling you?
Well, the feeling is, Chris, that there really was not a really solid storyline for this particular show. Most of the comments that I've seen kind of reflect what Michelle and I felt, and that is that it's basically another Disney clip show with songs from different movies, films, and they just did not connect. To your point, I think that what I was expecting, especially with the title of the show, was that there was going to be some type of a theme talking about a global neighborhood, how we can all live in harmony, how we can all live together, especially these days with the polarization going on all over the place. And I don't know if that was reached. There was some very interesting selections for the songs. I mentioned to Michelle that one of the premier songs that sort of was showcased was Somewhere Out There from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And that was not really received that well by the public. And I mean, as a film. So I'm wondering why they chose that that song.
The connection to France?
Well, yeah, then you had Beauty and the Beast, which was maybe 30 seconds. It was really, really a puzzling show.
But, you know, you just reminded me, one of the things that was kind of interesting is they had many of the lyrics sung in different languages from countries that are around World Showcase. So, yeah, so that was kind of kind of neat.
Yeah, there were so you've got Stargate, which is the circle. You've got the wands, and then you've got what they call the tacos. And the imagery,
Who call it the tacos?
Well, the people. The people. So I have to give Disney credit. The images were very striking. They were very vivid.
Even online.
I don't know how they looked like around World Showcase. But one of the issues that I had, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Chris, before, but when you look at, and you've been there, so you see how Stargate is positioned. So my question is, if you are not at right around the American Adventure, looking straight on, or if you're not at World Showcase Plaza, which you're back to Spaceship Earth, can you see everything? I'm not sure. So that was a concern. And last night it seemed like we never saw any other angle than those two. So that was a concern. There's a concern about the hardware. Those wands were moving like crazy last night. And like Michelle mentioned earlier, the more moving parts you have, the greater the chance of something going not so good. So that was an issue. The interesting thing was that when Michelle and I watched it together, when she came home, we watched the ending together, and then we watched it again. It's an ending to a Disney Parks nighttime spectacular that has never, ever, ever crossed my mind that they would do. And they did it last night. And it basically was that there was sort of a ending, and then there wasn't an ending. And then it was really quiet. And then there was a voice. And everything was really quiet. And then Spaceship Earth glowed, and that was it. And it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, so Mike said, no, that's not the end. There's more. There's more.
It's got to be more.
There wasn't more. It was just like a quiet good night.
Well, speaking of which, right? So they've added a bunch of lights to Spaceship Earth. Were you able to see that on the show? Like, did they dance with the show, or was it just something they kind of did afterward? Or
there's some, just the Spaceship Earth kind of glowed at the end.
Did you see it? I didn't see.
Yeah, it was kind of. I think I'm gonna have to watch it again to make sure I understood what I was watching. But that was thing. I guess starting tomorrow or maybe they were already doing it now. The beacons of light are now in operation for the castle, for the Tower of Terror, for Spaceship Earth, I think the Tree of Life. So those things are happening now. One of the interesting comments that Michelle saw, she mentioned it to me last night, and I said, oh, I wish I had come up with that, was that someone called this the Rivers of Light version 2. There have been two colossal failures over the last, let's say, 20 years in the Disney parks. And one was Rivers of Light at the Animal Kingdom. The other one was called Light Magic, which was down at Disneyland. It lasted maybe a couple of months, and then they just said, nope, not working. I don't see that happening here.
I don't think this is going to be a failure.
No, but I think, I do think that there's going to be some, there may be some tweaking that may have to happen. I don't know. I really did not get from the show last night a sense that everybody there was really, really excited about it. I mean,
I heard cheering.
Well, one person who I saw in a forum who was there said that at the end of the show, he said it just didn't seem like the same kind of applause that we have been used to hearing at the end of Illumination. So I don't know. Sometimes expectations are too much. When they put that demonstration in the Odyssey restaurant, we were really
The last time I heard applause at the end of Illuminations, to be honest with you.
Well, at the final, everybody screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
Didn't happen last night.
I think we need to wait and see. I think it's not fair to judge it only by.
I would also say a lot of those people are invites from the media and other sources, so they have maintain a little bit of a decorum. You know, it's sort of like sports writers can't applaud a baseball play while they're reporting on a game, right? You know, they can't.
Yeah. My last comment, and I want to go back to something Michelle said, because I agree with 1 million percent. And that is that it's another clip show of Disney songs from Disney films. And it's really out of place in Epcot. You can have projections on the castle for the next 200 years, and you can do different shows. and you can take the songs. I think it works in the Magic Kingdom, and I would even go as far as to say it works at Hollywood Studios. But Epcot's a different animal. I think it's a completely different animal from the other three theme parks, and I think it should have an original score. It should have an original song, and that's what I was looking for. So, you know, I mean, I remember the Magic, Wishes, We Go On from Illuminations. Everybody got to know those songs, and we liked them, and they were original. There was nothing original last night.
Well,
I think they're trying. They're definitely trying to bring into Epcot a little bit more of the Disney IP, you know, as opposed to making it like a World's Fair. We'll see with the new changes, but who knows? You know, like, again, with everything, this could be just the start of it, and they could be changing things around and fixing them up. And but I know you, Mike, and nothing will take Illuminations out of your heart. So
that's true.
I mean, that's a high bar. Like, I mean, God knows how many times I've seen you cry at that thing. It's you know, so. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
He comes on in the car, he cries.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say I've got the soundtrack. I went and bought the soundtrack. I had, you know, I have the CD.
Full disclosure, there's another time I cry.
Oh, Kiss Goodnight.
Well, Kiss Goodnight, but also if you're watching one of the, depends upon what show you're watching at the Magic Kingdom, but when they have the Tangled, I See the Light.
You're done?
I'm a mess. So, anyways.
Yeah, no. But that's the best of Disney, right? Is those moments that they give you, and you hope that you'll have those in the future. So, we'll see. Maybe when you're in person, it'll feel totally different.
Possibly.
And that's why I didn't want to watch it, because I feel like it does a disservice. You're not getting the effect of being there, you know.
And you know, I do think that change is good. I don't think Illuminations. I'd love it if they did, like, they, I know it would be too hard, but if they cycled through some of the classic shows for the 50th, that would be kind of cool. Yeah. Like, you know, Wednesday night, we're going to reshow Illuminations. It's like, you know, when you get to see the Wizard of Oz every once in a while on a big screen, it's still pretty darn cool when you see the Wizard of Oz.
You know, Fantasy in the Sky, Wishes, why not?
Yep.
All I will say is, though, around the holidays, if they would just bring Walter Cronkite back, and to put that tag on the end of this thing, I'd be okay with that one. I mean, they could just take the voice and change things around. They don't have to, doesn't have to follow what went before, but I miss his voice in there. I miss it in Spaceship Earth too, by the way. But all right. Well, speaking of attractions, why don't we move on? So last week we started in the Magic Kingdom. We discussed, because of the Genie Plus system and having to buy Lightning Lane passes, the idea is that if you were not to get buy any of these, how long would you be willing to wait to go on attractions? And I think last week, because of the amount of attractions, we were well beyond a day in the parks. I think Epcot has a fewer attractions, so it might go a little bit quicker for us. So again, it goes, Michelle is going to be a single person walking through the parks. Mike is with another person, so it's a couple, and then I'll be traveling with two young kids. What did I say? 8 and 10? Is that? I think they're 6 and 10.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it'll be based on those thoughts. There are three levels. It's 15. What is it, Mike? It's 15 to half an hour, half an hour to 45, and 45 to an hour.
As we were getting into the show last week, Chris, we kind of moved around a little bit, so we may want to just say up to 15, up to 30, up to 45, up to 60, and beyond 60.
Okay.
So maybe 5.
Okay. That works. Mm-hmm. Some of these are movies or they're timed attractions. So basically, it's not really that you'd be waiting that long, but maybe if you were coming across them and was like, oh, it's still another X amount. I mean, like, let's take, for example, the first one, the American Adventure. They're going off just about every 15 minutes. Michelle, if you were to walk by there and it just let in and you have to wait 15 minutes, would you wait or you just keep passing by?
I would just keep passing by. I wouldn't sit in the theater. I wouldn't wait in the lobby for 15 minutes for that. And that's pretty much how I do it, no matter who I'm with or how many people. If it's, I would wait 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. That's it.
Yeah. Well, even Mike, if you went there, you and Michelle went in there and weren't there, wasn't there some kind of singing act or something going on?
Voices of Liberty?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I think you've talked about that once or a thousand.
Yeah, about a thousand times.
Would you like, do they still have them inside, or they just play them on the stage now?
Right now they're in the American Gardens Theater. I don't know when they're going to be moving back into the pavilion, because Food and Wine has taken over that rotunda. Right. Yeah.
Right, right. So how long would you be willing to wait to get in there?
Well, American Adventure is one of my favorite attractions, but having said that, I think that 30 minutes would be my limit. And as long as those 30 minutes would be involving listening to the Voices of Liberty, I'd be happy.
Yeah. I mean, I love walking around a little bit because they have some of the stuff on display there as well. Like you see like Lincoln's hat or something like that they'll have on display. But yeah, again, with younger kids, this is one of our tricks that we did on the hot summer days, just like Hall of Presidents, or you go into the Country Bear. American Adventure is a great place to cool off with kids who are getting overstimulated and tired during the day. If it was the middle of the day in the middle of the summer, I might be willing to wait as much as a half hour, but I think I'd probably max out of 15 if they didn't have entertainment in the rotunda. So give me about up to 15 minutes. Let's see, I'm going to go through the lists here, because like I said, there's not many. One of the big ones coming up is one that I've been on. Michelle, I know you're a big fan of Frozen. Frozen Ever After, which is the reworking of Maelstrom, just with an overlay of Frozen on there. How long are you been willing? Because I've seen them upwards of an hour and a half to get on there.
Going,
how long are you waiting?
I think it's a good attraction. I really like the queue. I'd probably wait 20 minutes for that by myself.
Yeah. How many times have you been on it?
Four. Yeah, I think one time was with Becky, like when we were doing a dessert party.
Right.
But yeah, just about four.
Okay. Mike, what about you?
I think 15 minutes would be mine, because it's a nice attraction, but it's a very short attraction. So
yeah.
I think 15 minutes
would
be my limit.
You've been on it fewer times than me.
Yeah.
You've been on it like twice, right?
Yep.
Yeah. With the younger kids, the boys not so much into it as the girls would be. I think it's a big attraction for young girls who
yes.
love the Frozen property. And if you have young girls, definitely the wait is worth it. I think the one and only time I went on, I think I went on twice, but the one time I remember is, my wife and my one son were back at the hotel doing something like, I forget what it was going on. It was like he had to do homework or something. So Jeremy and I were wandering around Epcot and figured, oh, what the heck? Let's go give it a try. And I think we wound up waiting 45 minutes, and literally like, it was like clockwork. We got off the ride, you walk out, and as soon as we stepped outside, he goes, wasn't worth it. But again, he was at the time, a 20-year-old male who was, not that into Frozen, and none of my family. I had to force them all to watch the movie. So I would say, yeah, I'm with Michelle. Maybe about 20 minutes would be my max, and I'd be like, it's not that worth it to me. But maybe I'm not the target audience. Next up, we're gonna go over to Mexico. Maybe go have a shot at tequila before we get on the Grand Fiesta Tour, starring the three caballeros. Michelle. There's not normally a very large wait. I will say the last time when I were in, there was a bit of a wait to get on. But how long are you willing to wait to go see the three caballeros?
I find that ride to be just delightful. I think I might wait 30 minutes for that.
Yeah.
I like the whole atmosphere in there, and the only part I don't like is the end when the boats bump.
Nobody likes those.
It kills my hip.
It's like pirates, right? Same thing.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, I'm always riding through it with a big smile on my face. So I would wait. Yeah, I'd wait 30. And it does go quickly. Last time I was on it, the attraction, they had like people directing people through the store and, around, around stalls and things like that. And it still went pretty quickly.
Yeah. Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with Michelle on that. I think it's a very fun, happy kind of attraction, and it's a it's worth to me waiting up to 30 minutes because, you know, it's just fun.
There's some cute hidden Mickeys in there.
And now that the three Caballeros are back, you know.
They're actually functioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that this is another one of those, if you've got kids who are overheated, it's wonderfully dark and cool inside of there. And so it's a pleasant, almost like it's sort of like a slightly altered, oh my God, I just lost
Small World.
You knew exactly where I was going. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's a wonderful little thing. And plus you can like go by the restaurant there.
Yeah, I like that.
And scream out, ew, rat, as they're eating.
Let's see what I think. Chris.
But yeah, I think I'd go about 20 minutes would be my wait time for that. So
oh, nice and cool in there.
Well, that's what I was saying. And, you know,
in the building.
Mm. Yep. And so like in those hot summer days, like, you know, when you're feeling overheated, you can sit down and get a nice little thing. So another one. Oh, God, Michelle. I don't know. When's the last day? See, I wish this attraction was so much better. Journey into Imagination with Figment. It's usually very quiet over there. Not a lot of people go in. The time in there where they had the theater and they were playing the Michael Jackson video again, it started to get a lot of traffic.
Captain EO.
But since then, I don't see a lot of people clamoring to get on there. It could be so much more for a ride about imagination. It sure lacks a lot of imagination. So, Michelle, what are you waiting for this one?
3.27 minutes. That's about it.
And I thought you were going to say seconds.
No. I love Eric Idle. I love Monty Python. You know, I always, whenever you hit the nail on the head, whenever I go through like the smell part, I always hold my nose because I know it's coming. But like, why couldn't they mix it up and have, you don't know what's coming, you know? Like,
right.
It's going to be roses. It's gonna
randomize
be
it. Yeah.
Peanut butter. It's going to be whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm still a big fan of the, you know, the Dream Catcher, and I still remember that was like one of my first Disney experiences, just being fascinated with that technology. And so it's just, it's kind of like old hat. It's like,
It's kind of, you would think they'd, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do over there now that they're updating the whole park. You would think they would maybe
but even
give
that
some
like
love.
I mean, this is for, you know, little technology geek Michelle, but even coming off that attraction and that whole technology playground that was just buzzing and people are waiting in line and there's so many cool things. People just walk through it. That's like, it's completely wasted space.
Yeah.
The only nice thing about that is you can go up to the DVC lounge if you want to get out of the rain. It's through that area, but.
Right. Okay. Mike, you and your significant other, you're coming in and.
It would be pretty much the same, maybe about 15 minutes. I think I want to reinforce what Michelle said. 25 years ago, that pavilion was really nice. Mm. Maybe 30 years ago it was nice, but I'd say the last 20 years, it's just too bad because I really think that there could be so much more interest there and so much more fun, and they just kind of ignored it, you know? Yeah.
Even like the hopping fountain seemed cooler and more crisp.
Yeah, Leapfrog. You know? Yeah, Leapfrog, yeah.
No, it is. I maybe give it 5 minutes at this point. We've been on it enough. That tended to be the ride that you go on when nothing, when everything else has got like a half hour, 45 minute wait. And it's just sort of, all right, you know, Soarin' is, you know, all the way up to, you know, an hour. Let's just go over there and cool off or whatever. But speaking of Soarin', Michelle, what are the attractions I think a lot of people find boring, but I absolutely love, I know it's silly and dopey, but Living with the Land is just a joy to me. I don't know about you, how you feel, but how long would you be willing to wait?
Oh, I would say 30 to 40 minutes. I love that attraction. Love it. And it's another one I can't get enough. And it changes too, because it changes what they're growing, and it's got, you know, biology, it's got living things. And I love that. I love that it goes by the restaurant, and I love the animatronics. It really has a lot kind of packed into it. It's cool.
And you guys did the behind the scenes tour, right?
I've done it many times with my boys. You know, they talk about controlling invasive species and, you know, pest control. And they have like a college intern take you through, but it's really, you've never done it?
I've never done behind the scenes. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cute. It's really cute. So
interesting.
It's not, it's, you know, it's not like super in depth, but you it's like a half an hour, but it's cute. And it's fun to see the boats coming when you're walking and everybody's like, there's back people there. Yeah. So some people jump off the boat and try to grab something, but it's fun. Have you ever done that, Mike? The behind the seats?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. That's good. How long would you wait?
Oh, for Living with the Land?
Yeah.
I would say 30 minutes. I think it's also, I think that every time I go through there, I see something different. Mm. I see something new. And I love going through the hot house and seeing the greenhouse and seeing all that stuff. I think it's, I think it is one of those signature attractions for Epcot. So 30 minutes.
Yeah. I even like the music.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the like the fake locations, like the rainforest and then then the plains and the desert, like, you know, I love looking, like, they have the fish farm there.
Tilapia.
And I love the fact that they claim, I assume they mean it, that a lot of the vegetables they grow, they will use within the restaurants at the park. So that's, like, kind of cool that you know, it's going to somebody's table.
So that's one of the things you get to do on the tours. You get to go to one of those big fish tanks and feed the tilapia.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, they're all like swimming around and they jump up and get the fish feed. So
freak out.
Yeah, they do. It's kind of like koi ponds.
Yeah.
But
very cool. Yeah. I think I definitely think I would go about 30 minutes there too. If you're feeling like Soarin's too long of a wait and you're already inside, I really like it. I think my kids are bored with it by this point, but I just get a kick out of it. They do seem interested. They always say they're kind of, all right, that's fine. But I can always catch them like looking at the different things that are growing and reading the signs even now. So, you know, again, and I think that's one of those attractions that is the heart of Epcot.
Mm.
You know, it was supposed to be a World's Fair. It was supposed to be about the world we live in and how we live in it. And I wish there were more like that, more original attractions, maybe not necessarily like a little boat ride, but you know what I'm saying? Like more about the world as a whole and you know, they follow that original theme. But but if you want to get off the world, Michelle, you can go on Mission Space. There are two sections to this ride, so maybe we'll talk. I don't know if you want to choose the difference between the green and orange, green being the lighter version and orange being the I'm going to puke when I get off this ride part. So they've updated it recently that so on the green ride, you only go around the Earth, whereas on the original, you would go all the way to Mars and land there. But Michelle, where have you been on before? Did you go on that one?
Yeah, I've been on that. Kind of bored by it, to be honest with you, even though there's the space theme. So I probably would wait 5 minutes, mostly just probably walk by.
Have you ever gone on
I've never gone on the version that's not intense. I've only been on the intense version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. So I don't know. Have you been on the one that you don't like the
you know, it's funny. When I worked for HP, I mean, HP was a sponsor and I used to go up to the lounge and they say, hey, Mike, can get you to the front of the line. And my kids loved it because I got them to the front of the line, but a little claustrophobic. And so I decided I don't need it. Also, I've heard about so many people, you know, throwing up afterwards. I just didn't want to be like that. And as a matter of fact, the Mission Space was the design for a lot of the other Disney parks around the world. And because this one had so many issues with people getting sick that they scrapped the one that they were going to build in France and a few others. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be limited.
I do think that marble out front and that whole design's really cool. But
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, so it's funny when the kids were really young and they were just old enough to get on there. They were just tall enough to get on there. My wife was a little concerned if they, you know, if it would make them sick. And so she sent me alone to go try out the intense version. And I now that I'm on blood pressure medication, like I tend to get dizzy from like rock and roller coaster and stuff. If I do it in the early morning, later in the day, I'm fine. But we'd gone on first thing in the morning. And I was like, oh, God. like she said, I looked a little green around the gills. So we didn't go on. I think the boys started to go on later, but my wife doesn't want to go on intense, but we love the fact that the green, the less intense you can, it's already walk on. You're with the on in a couple minutes. So yeah, I would maybe wait 15 minutes max for the attraction at this point. We've done it all. So, and then it's at 8 and 10, they might get a little freaked out by it. Wasn't that the attraction that a kid died on there early in its creation, and they got freaked out and people were like, this is the one that kids die on. And I mean, apparently he had like a heart condition that was undiagnosed and stuff.
Pre-existing condition.
Yeah, it's really interesting because at Kennedy Space Center, there is a trip to space.
Yes.
There's a trip to space attraction. Shuttle, yeah. That's like, kind of like Star Tours. Like it's one of those vehicles that moves around.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was way more entertaining and fun in terms of like making you feel like you went to space. And it was just like jiggling and stuff. And you go up, and they had video in certain places. But to me, I thought that was cooler.
Hmm.
So mm-hmm.
Very cool. From outer space, we go under the sea to the seas with Nemo and friends, Michelle. The queue starts you on land, and as you go through it, you go underwater, which is a wonderful little effect. I like the attraction. I think it's a sweet, good attraction. Michelle, like, what do you think?
I love it. I'm just in awe of the way that they set that up, where you're walking on a boardwalk, and then all of a sudden you're walking into the water. I just think that's the railings in there are rusty, and you can see the bottom of the boat. It's one of the attractions where I really feel like they really, really pulled together the queue in a great way. And then you're stepping on a seashell. I love that attraction. I'd wait 30 minutes. It just seems to break down a lot, at least when I'm on. I don't know if it's me or some effect has broken down, like the robotic deep sea fish, or one of the screens isn't working, or it just seems like there's always a lot broken. But I really do like it, right down to the effect of the characters being projected into the tank. So I'd wait 30 minutes for that.
Mike, there's a wonderful bit in there where you get to swim, I guess, basically with Crush and his little turtle, and it's got a great effect as you're moving across. Mm-hmm. They move forward and back with you. It's a really amazing technological innovative thing. And then they have the video projections into scenes to make it look like the fish are swimming in it. And then they have the angler fish with the little light chasing Marlin.
Yeah, that's the one that seems to be broken.
Is that the one that's always broken?
That's a robot. Yeah.
Yeah. So you and Michelle are going on how long? Well, obviously she's willing to wait a long time. What are you willing to wait?
I'm willing to wait up to 30 minutes. I think that it's part of that group of attractions that together they were built with the idea that we need to make the queue really, really entertaining. Expedition Everest was in that group as well. And it's one of those attractions where I wish there would be nobody behind me, so I could really take my time going through the queue and saying, oh yeah, I'm getting deeper and deeper into the water. I really like, the projections are really great. The thing with Crush and the race, the what do they call that? The drop off or whatever.
And, the Australian.
Yeah, I forget that. But that was good. I really enjoy that one. That's so I'm 30 minutes for that.
Yeah, I especially with the kids, I would definitely say half an hour is definitely a doable, especially with the queue. Waiting in that queue, again, I think that's a lot of the things too. And I wonder if Disney's going to think about this now, that if we're going to have longer queues, do they start putting things in the queue to entertain children more or guests more, but even if it's through their phones. So, but I would definitely wait a half an hour. And as we head back by the land, we get to one of the bigger attraction wait times is Soarin' Around the World, Michelle. Absolutely love that attraction. Can't get enough of it. My kids, not so much, but what about you, Michelle?
Oh, an hour. I'd wait an hour. No problem. Yeah. I think the queue line, they kind of have tried to do some cool things, but it hasn't worked out. But I'd still wait an hour, even by myself. to go on that one.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, Mike? And to see Patrick, what's his name?
Warburton.
Yeah, Warburton. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, he says so much. Nice work, pal.
Nice work, pal.
I just laugh every time.
These little babies.
Have a good flight.
These little beauties, I think.
These little beauties. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, very cool, Mike. What are you waiting for, Soren?
What did you say, Michelle? 45 minutes.
Oh, 1 hour.
1 hour.
Okay. 1 hour.
Version one, I would have waited maybe 45 minutes. Version two, I would wait 30 minutes. I'm not crazy about the CGI stuff that's in there, but it was just a simple Erector set design, and I really think it's a great attraction. 30 minutes, I'd say for now. Yeah.
I wish they would split it up and have the old version in maybe one or two of the units and then have the new one. I'd be even willing to go an hour in this way. If you are on either of the sides of the attraction, I would be willing to wait for the middle one. So there's a one, two, and three. Two, because like you said, the computer effects on the new version, when you're going up like the Eiffel Tower, right. It warps when you're on either side, and it looks kind of wonky. It doesn't look realistic. So wait to stay into that center lane and go there. I always ask, if we don't get that middle section, I always ask to wait for the next grouping to go there. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So put me down for at least an hour. Another favorite of mine, it's made some changes over the years. It was due for a change, and they've pulled back because of the pandemic, Michelle, and that's Spaceship Earth.
God, I love Spaceship Earth. I'd wait 45 minutes for Spaceship Earth.
Yeah. I mean,
To me, it's like quintessential Epcot, you know?
Yeah. I loved every version with the music. I remember, I think Newell put together a version of, maybe it was the Walter Cronkite one, and he got the audio and he put the talk track over it so that it sounded like you were actually on the attraction, not just the music. I don't think the Jeremy Irons one was well received, and then the Judi Dench one is the one we're with right now. What do you think about waiting?
I will say before Mike jumps in that one of the things that I am just delighted every time I go is that, you know, my last name being Scribner, that the scribes are there, and that's where my name came from. Aww. So like the sleeping monk. So I was like, that's where my name came from.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely
another reason I like it. But I was counting. I always count to see how many female characters there are, and they're not a lot, at least in the first part of the attraction.
Yeah.
The whole story is about males.
Of course.
Still, I will wait.
Yeah. Mike, what about you? How long are you waiting?
Boy, you know, this was a tough one, but I think I would say between 30 and 45 minutes. I think it's, like Michelle said, it's another signature Epcot attraction. I do wish they would, and I believe that they are going to do a refurbishment for the trip down from the top of the attraction. We'll see what they come up with, but I think it's time for them to make another change.
Yeah. Yeah, especially that down train. I mean, I remember the stuff they used to have, like with communication. And do you remember that they would show the video of like the mother talking from space over a video phone to the kid?
Oh, I know. Yeah. We were like, wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be neat? I guess that's a little dated at this point. But yeah, no, I think I probably wait up to 45 minutes. We have, depending on time of day. And you get to take the video home with you if you want. You can have it, you know, sent to you. Did you know that?
No.
So the video they make on the way down, you can go and scan in. At least we used to. I still have them from when they were kids. You could give them an email address, and it would email version that you did, you know, with your wonky looking face on, half cut out because they didn't get the lighting right or something like that. I don't know if
you know. Oh, you know, it's a good point, because when I first went to Epcot, it's kind of like the end of Journey to the Imagination, that part outside of the attraction when you're all the little games used to be as fun as the part at the attraction itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember standing in one of the phone booths and making a phone call, and we were all like talking at the same time to somebody. It was like, yeah. Oh my God,
this is amazing.
Yeah. So, but that was really fun. Yeah. But,
yeah. I think my kids, when they were younger, found more fun because they've been on it so many times. They know what goes on. I think they had more fun after in all those little play areas
Time for updating though with those.
Yeah. Now, and you got me down, right, Mike, for 45?
Yep.
Is the max? Okay, so the next one we're going to is another one of the big wait time attractions, which is Test Track, or as Tron Track, as some of us call it lately after the update, Michelle. What are your thoughts? Are you going on for a wait for a long time, or are you just bypassing?
I'd wait an hour just for that last acceleration outside on the track.
Right.
I love that. I love that.
So you wait an hour for like a 12 second
it's
thrill.
A rush. I really enjoy it. Yep.
That's all good. Mike, what about you?
I think it's 30 minutes for me. I've been kind of spoiled because of the racers version of Test Track out there in California Adventure.
Right.
The Radiator Springs Racers.
Radiator Springs Racers. I really love that. So, yeah. So that kind of spoiled me for Test Track, but I'd go 30 minutes.
Yeah. The little trick now that my kids are older is we just go on the single rider and barrel through. We don't need to kind of do that whole thing. But if you want to go as a family, like me, my wife, and our, what do we say, 8 and 10, we want to go together. And there's a fun little thing where you can, in the queue, where you can create your own car. And it was fun when the kids were younger, so we could, you know, who beat who and who won. And so that's always fun. So, yeah, I'm willing to wait 45 minutes to an hour for Test Track. I do miss the older version. I do love the kitschy kind of, you know, it's a real Test Track as opposed to just, you know, here's some neon lights. And do you want to talk about the movies? Think about waiting for movies, or is that not considered a full-on attraction?
Well, there's three of them. We could probably go through. There may be one that may be better to. There may be one that we may be waiting longer for than others. So,
okay,
probably worth it.
Well, the last attraction is Turtle Talk with Crush, which is also by the Nemo and inside what's the name of that pavilion? Is it the Seas?
Living Seas.
Living Seas. Michelle, have you ever done Turtle Talk with Crush?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My answer is different if I'm by myself than if I'm with, you know, my little Liam when he was little. I would say I would probably wait 5 minutes for it now. But yeah. Back in the day, I would wait a lot longer if I had kids to interact with Crush.
Mike, what about you?
Exactly what Michelle said. If I had kids, one thing. With a couple, you know.
Yeah. I think if I had the kids there, it's like a 15-minute. Although when we did it when the kids were younger, they just got embarrassed and they didn't want to be called on. Like, they were just afraid. Yeah. Like, they were just like, don't embarrass me. So what are you going to do? All right, so why don't we talk about the movies? I think the first one, I'm trying to get the exact name. It's the in the China Pavilion. And what is it called?
The Wonders of China? They changed it too.
Oh, Reflections of China.
Yeah.
All right, so Michelle, what are you thinking? You going to wait a long time for the movie?
You know, I really wish I could sit down during that movie. Those leaning things, I've never liked them. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. I just wish I could. I guess it would defeat the purpose because it wouldn't be circle vision. I would wait 10 minutes probably and longer if it was raining outside.
Yeah. But
probably 10 minutes because it's really nice. You know, you walk into that pavilion. It's really pretty to sit and watch. But yeah, just 10.
They now have they had like the whole big thing about Shanghai Disney that was in there. I don't know if it's been moved out. I used to love they had the Terracotta Warriors in there for a time.
Yeah, that was cool.
Period. That was cool to look at. Mike, you and Michelle are walking in. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking about the same, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, especially if it's maybe just raining. You know, I do think that the pavilion itself is pretty nice, but the limit would be me 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think the fact that you can sit down out before the movie is helpful.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think about 10 minutes for me as well. But yeah, it's rough. It's like, and I know it's circle vision, so you're supposed to be able to rotate around and look all around you and stuff. And I know that's the reason for it, but it's just sort of like, I've been walking all day. I don't want to just stand there.
Right. Or lean, or then you see the people sitting on it. And
yeah.
That annoys me because I want people to follow directions.
Right. We're rule followers. Yeah. So the second movie is Impressions de France. This is the one with Martin Short, right? Or have they changed it?
No,
Martin Short's Canada.
Canada, sorry.
You're mixing.
I'm mixing up. Yep.
It's,
sorry.
It's
a Frozen sing-along.
Yeah, it's oh, no right. longer. And
not,
for me, yeah.
Not Frozen sing-along.
Is it Beauty and the Beast sing-along?
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, is it really? Oh.
Yeah.
I used to love that. There was a scene previously where, I don't know if it's a young lady, young man, riding her bicycle down through the countryside and going down and around. And the soundtrack to that was a joy. I actually listened to that one once in a while. But
Debussy.
Yeah. So, Michelle, you waiting for this one?
No, I do like sitting down, but I think I do a sing along once or twice and I'm done. So I'm probably like 5 minutes to just walk by, to 5 minutes, I guess, depending on my mood and if it's raining.
Right. Mike. Ooh, he's got not a happy look on his face.
No, I think that they could have done a better job. So it's maybe,
and that's one of your favorite films.
5 minutes. Yeah, it's okay. But
you like the actual film.
But there is a story. At least there's a story. You got to give them credit. They do put a story to the sing along. So it's not just, hey, let's sing this. And it's about LeFou and how he was the real hero of Beauty and the Beast. So in that regard, it's pretty cool, but 10-15 minutes for me.
Yeah, I think probably in that neck of the woods, if I were there, and maybe if I just had a cider or a beer, I could go and hang out there for like a minute. So I'd wait like 5 minutes or so. And then finally, I'm sorry, the Martin Short, Canada Far and Wide in Circle Vision 360 is the full title. Michelle, all right. It wasn't open when I went in. They were doing food and wine.
The apple stuff was in there.
Yeah, the flights were there and all the other desserts. And
yeah,
stuff.
In fact, I think we recommended that you go in there.
We did, and my wife absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So I love Martin Short. You know, I know we're all watching Only Murders in the Building right now.
Yes.
I can't get enough of Martin Short. I would wait, 15-20 minutes for that. I still don't like to lean, but. I'd rather sit on the ground,
yeah,
crisscross applesauce or something like that. But I don't know. It's a cute movie. I really enjoy that.
Mike, what about you?
I like the music, so I would go as far as 30 minutes for that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Impressive. Yeah, I think I with the kids, any more than 15 minutes, and they'd probably be like revolting. And I guess some of the good stuff is like, you know, for the younger ones, there's the KidCot stations where they'll have little things for kids to do. And, you know, if you're waiting, you can have them fiddle around for a little bit. So it's a good way
to
keep
them busy. You can wait out of the sun.
Yep. So so why don't you add up our times, Mike, and see if, you know, what at the end we'd be waiting for a full time if we had to. And then we can sort of go over. And then I think, what do you want to do next week? Do you want to do Animal Kingdom or Hollywood? I think we should do it in order, right? We should do Hollywood Studios next, since that was the next park to open up.
That's good. But I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Since it's your birthday, if you could eat anywhere, have a family meal or a nice meal with friends, you could just walk in and have everything you wanted and have a reservation and everything like that, where would you go to eat for your birthday?
In Magic Walt Kingdom? In the
Walt Disney World.
Walt Disney World?
Anywhere in Walt Disney World.
Oh, wow.
While he's doing the math.
You know what's so funny is the places I want to go, none of my family members will eat any. They try nothing new.
Let's just say they did.
They did?
They're like, all of a sudden there's awesome stuff and you could go wherever you want.
There's so many. I mean, I probably would like to. I've never gone, but I'd like to do Victoria and Albert's Chef Table. Yeah. I know that's the cliche. You know, there's so many that I'd like to go and just go to, but it's, you know, like I love Via Napoli, but like if you're saying the one and only thing and there's something special, that or California Grill, go up there and get a nice meal, look over as the sun's going down and get to see the fireworks later, and I get to order like foods that I wouldn't normally eat. That's the thing. Like I can go get pizza or I can go and you know, get a steak somewhere, but they make some interesting food, so maybe I'd do California Grill. So
I'll be imagining you there tonight.
I'm probably just gonna have like a burger and fries tonight, but what else?
That's
is
okay, mentioned? That's all right.
All right, Mike, so give us the poop scoop.
So very interesting. You and Michelle are deadlocked. You will both most of the time wait an average of 24 minutes for an attraction in Epcot. Me, I'm not that tolerant. I'm probably right now, I'm thinking I'm about between, I would say between 18 and 19 minutes. That's as long as I'll wait. So we're pretty much, you know, within the ballpark regarding the attraction. So 15 to 30 minutes seems to be the average between the three of us.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you remember what it was last week?
I don't remember. I threw away the...
I do remember our totals were somewhere around 13 hours of wait time if we were to go our full length for every attraction, if we were trying to get on everything. So it would be more than the length of an actual day at the park.
I think that for most of us last week, I think it was also close last week. And I think it was closer to the 30-minute mark.
Definitely the Magic Kingdom attractions minutes tend to be a bit more interesting. The Epcot ones, sort of like, I can take it or miss. So do we know what the total time was for any of these? Or is it just, like, so if you looked at Michelle, like, how long would she be willing to wait all day if she was going to go on all these? I know, see, there's more questions. Where would you go, Michelle?
Talk among yourselves.
For my birthday?
Yeah, where would you go? What restaurant would you go to?
Oh, Chris, I think you and I are on the same page. I've never been to Victoria and Albert's. I've always wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But a California Grill. One of my favorite birthdays was at the California Grill. And I love the wine. I love the service. I love the sushi. I love the salad. So
yeah.
My favorite thing to do is just to have like a 3-hour dinner and just really take my time and you know, good conversation. And so
the bars is nice up there, you can sit and have a drink beforehand,
and you're right, you can watch the sunset and watch the fireworks. So
you know,
so hopefully I'll get a seat at your birthday table so I can cheer.
At Disney World on my birthday, we'll go and enjoy that. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we have to, speaking of which, we have to start. How many days is it? 60 days out, we can do dining reservations for our trip down for the marathon. And I've always noticed the night before the marathon, everybody goes to every Italian joint because they want to carb up, and it's tough to get a reservation. So I would recommend to any of our listeners who are running the marathon to make sure you get those reservations immediately for that night before. Because especially you don't want to try new foods, you know, and have a real problem the day of the race. Like you want to eat somewhere that, you know, you can comfortably get some pasta or something so that your race is good.
I make my big meal at lunchtime too. I don't make it at dinner.
I go early because we have to go to bed so early. Where do you normally go?
Via Napoli, but we've been talking about maybe going off property this time, but we'll see.
Yeah, we did Il Mulino 1 year. It was interesting, we went to Il Mulino 1 year and it was like the night before the marathon, and my wife just wanted like plain spaghetti with like, I don't know, with like chicken in it. And they were like, no substitute, you get whatever's on the meal, we don't change anything because we're not doing special meals for anybody. So she, like, there was like nothing on there that wasn't like covered in sauce. And so she was freaking out, didn't eat, which was wrong. But she, you know, she just wanted pasta. She wanted to, like, you know, we did
Were they saying that because it was the night before the marathon?
Everybody, they were busy that night because everybody was coming to carb up and they were just not looking to make special meals.
Yeah,
Then we did Mama Melrose 1 year, which was really good. They actually made a special. They made a special meal for the runners that
I've seen
night.
That before.
You know, it was carbs. I mean, it was pasta. It was chicken. It had like sun-dried tomatoes. It was a really wonderful meal that they specifically made for the runners, which I thought, well, that's the opposite of Il Molino. I think Viennapoli's right. You can do the pasta there. And then Trattoria Il Forno?
Trattoria Il Forno.
Trattoria.
Yeah, get the Italian to tell me how to say it. over on Boardwalk, which is also a good choice. So 6 days out, be sure.
What's the place in, I always forget the name in Disney Springs with the fried olives?
Oh.
Terralina. Yeah, Terralina in Disney Springs.
Okay.
It's right near Paddlefish. It used to be Portofino's, Mike. Mm-hmm. Is that where Portofino's was?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that they have good pizza and pasta too.
I didn't know that. All right, there's one more choice to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing, especially that weekend. Everybody's coming in for it. So let's think, Mike. What do you think? How long are we waiting for these attractions?
So Michelle is waiting a total of 7 hours for these.
That's funny. That's how long it's going to take me to finish the marathon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You, Chris, will wait a total of 6 hours and 20 minutes.
Hmm.
And yours truly will wait 5 hours and 45 minutes.
Very impatient. I got things to do.
Yeah.
That's now, again, travel time between the attractions.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But again, this is our max. And if we wanted to go on every attraction as opposed, I mean, so it's not saying, I think the point being that if you're going to be spending a day, you're paying the money for the ticket and you don't want to do Lightning Lane, this is the numbers you're going to probably be willing to go for. And is it worth it? Again, are there any of these, the last question, Michelle, any of these attractions you would be willing to get a Lightning Lane pass to get on?
Good question.
Oh, yeah, great question. Soarin'.
That's it. Mike?
Wow. I would say if a tie between Soarin', Spaceship Earth, and Nemo.
Nemo? Yeah. I'd be surprised because they never have a line over there, so I would think they.
Well, having said that, I wouldn't spend more than $5 for the Lightning Lane,
right?
For the Genie Plus.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think if I had a family together, I would definitely pay for the test track to get in and get out. Soarin' as well. I don't know if there's any others that I'd be willing to put out some extra money like. I guess the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy ride, when that comes up, I think I would probably do that. But this is definitely not the park where you're needing to do it anyway. So I wonder if they're going to have many in this.
Well, in this I bet there's some younger families, with younger kids who would pay for Frozen. Yeah.
They're
going to make a boatload of money. No pun intended. Boatload of money at Frozen. So.
Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
See, I think, it's something like that. I just let it go.
All right. On that pun. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank God. Mickey Miles and More. If you want to continue the conversation, please join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast or on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. Oh, boy. For Dr. Michelle Scribner McLean, Mike Scope, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.